Court Press.
I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble. Yeah! Yeah!
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Full Court Press, all things NBA. This is another little offshoot of a normal podcast where I call Rabbit and he hangs up on me at work, which is one of my more favorite things. But let's see if he's into it. If not, we're just going to be talking a little bit about the current trade issues that we've been experiencing over the last couple of days. We were expecting the trades to be really an exciting ending, and it ended up kind of just flattening out with a couple little last-minute trades from Chicago and Phoenix and Dallas. So I'm just trying to call Rabbit on his mobile, and of course he's not going to call, which is standard Rabbit, and so you have to call the shop. So we'll just quickly do that now, just to see what the old bastard has to say.
Chris speaking.
Hey, buddy, it's Wes. How are you?
What's up, Wesley?
Dude, how fucking shit was that All-Star game?
It was dog shit.
The whole weekend?
It was so awful. It was awful.
It's probably the worst three-point contest I've ever seen.
I think we all have to steady ourselves a little bit, though, because it was such a good one last year. You got to know it was going to be pretty awful.
But
I don't know.
Well,
I
like
feel
the
bad
drone?
For Gordon. That drone thing was cool.
Did he practice it, though?
No. Yeah, I reckon he did. There's an article on, what's it on? ESPN somewhere, where it talked about how intense he planned for this whole thing, and he takes it really seriously. It's like the highlight of his year. Apparently, he was crushed afterwards.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Oh, I thought he was like, I don't want to prove what I...
No.
You know, outdo what I did last year, but it looked like he didn't even practice that shit.
Oh, no, he did.
In the three-point contest, it was like everyone was drunk or could care less, or like everyone smoked a big bong before the...
Well, that would have made it more interesting.
Yeah,
I'll get into that. Yeah. But it's lame, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's lame, but, you know, I think we all came back down to earth thinking it would be better, and it wasn't. So.
It's a bit of a lull period in the NBA, I think.
Well, then there's, you know, Boogie Cousins bombshells going on. So
yeah.
They highlighted it.
Do you know, have you seen the score for the first game?
No, tell me.
It was like 150,000 to like 80. They got smoked.
By who? By Houston?
Yeah, by Houston.
Yeah,
like bad.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a bit weird.
Are they going to make the playoffs, Wesley?
I don't care. No. Was there anything that stood out to you trade-wise?
What? Say that again?
Is there anything you gave a shit about for the trades? I mean, do you want me to break it down? I mean, you know I'm recording you, right?
Yeah. I know it was an abysmal trade for Sacramento, but, you know, we can talk about that another time. It's just
PJ Tucker to...
Don't care.
Yeah, Jared Sullinger.
Don't
care. Taj Gibson, McDermott. For Cameron Payne?
Okay.
Yeah. Are you high on Cameron Payne? What do you think?
No, I don't like Cameron Payne.
I don't like the dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got Anthony Morrow as well. He kind of didn't do much.
No.
And to be honest with you...
What about the Taj Gibson thing?
Yeah, well, Taj Gibson, I don't know why you want to give him up, but like...
Yeah.
McDermott has had so many opportunities and buzzer-beater moments that he's failed at that I can understand why they got rid of him.
It helps. Look, it helps for shooting. You know, they need... Okay, they need that. So, you know, it's okay. I see it working for both teams, but it's a little meh.
Yeah.
Don't care. There's no bombshells. I really wanted Paul George to get traded. I would have loved that.
Or Butler. And nobody cares about the Roy Hibbert trade.
No, Butler was going to be the Celtics with Butler, but they didn't go for it in the end. But
I
think Paul George was meant to go to, well, he wants to go to L.A. So, anyway.
And then there's McDaniels. There's Nerlens Noel. No, sorry, Nerlens Noel and Bogut. And there's an article that's very interesting that says that there is a kind of loophole that could bring Bogut back on the Golden State.
I saw that.
Probably a bit high.
Because he's got to declare he wants to go there. Because I think Cleveland is sniffing around as well, which would be ironic.
Totally.
Itself,
and Thiago Splitter got traded to the 76ers. I forgot he played in the NBA. It's been so long. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, that's
he
right,
was in your
league,
wasn't he? No, where was he?
He was in Atlanta.
Oh, he was in Atlanta, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, very strange. Other than that, it's hilarious.
What about the hype around Derrick Rose and Rubio straight up and the Knicks wanted to do it, and Minnesota said no.
I can't believe it. A little fuck you from Tibbs.
Minnesota said no to that.
I know. I agree, because he at least knows Tibbs, and you know, they've got Dunn as a backup point guard, so he doesn't have to play as much. What's Rubio giving you that Rose can't give you? Rubio can't shoot outside anyways.
Ethnic fans?
Yeah, totally. The most intense eyebrows on mankind. And then Corey Brewer over the Lakers for Lou Williams. Sweet Lou. I still think he's awesome. I think he had over 20 points. I think he almost had a double-double today. So
there's more hype in that. I don't think it's going to change much. Well, yeah, I got to go. I got customers.
All right, dude. Good to speak with you. All the best. I love you.
Love you. Bye.
Oh, my God. He was not only polite, but he had a moment. It must be because it's late February and Christmas season's over. It's always hard to do podcasts because the reality is, you know, he works retail and it's the most fucking crazy time for him. He's working his ass off. So we try and do as many of these as we can. But the reality is we can't do all of them. So now we're going to call the Bagman, my personal favorite, the stat man, the Bagman. He knows a little bit about everything. Ask him about pop culture. Ask him about movies. Ask him about his hate for Hugh Jackman. Ask him anything you want. But he's not going to answer the phone.
He's available right now.
So that sucks for us. We might try it one more time because, well, we work together and there's no way he can't be where he's supposed to be. So unless he's taking a big shit, he's got to be answering the phone. Don't fuck with me, Bagman.
Yo.
Victory.
Hi. Sorry. I'm so retarded. I always have my headphones plugged into the wrong phone and answer shit.
That's all right. So
fucking mind.
You are being recorded, and we are doing a podcast, so that's exciting.
Hooray!
Yeah, welcome. Welcome aboard. And would you believe Rabbit answered the phone and had some insight and some feedback about trades before hanging up on me?
Oh, my God.
I know.
You're not being 1080 this time around.
Yeah, totally. So,
did you call him on his mobile or did you catch him in the shop again?
Of course I called him on his mobile and he didn't answer, so I had to call the shop. But he, from the last time I did this, he obviously knew it was up, so he was a little bit more respectful. So that was lovely. So, yeah, man, let's talk about a couple things real quickly.
Hits me.
Well, first of all, what did you think about this year's All-Star game?
Oh, it's always a bit of a red flag when the most exciting part of it is a trade.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's as fucked as it's always been. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why you're not going to get injured closing out to a shooter.
Sorry.
Like, how many...
We're talking about the All-Star game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. So what are you talking about specifically?
How many times did Isaiah Thomas broke my own rule of, like, actually watching some of the fucking thing this year, which I'm disappointed in. But how many times did Isaiah Thomas, that he's just standing in the corner and catches the ball, and someone's, like, five steps away from him, and they just don't, like, they just look at him.
Mm. Well,
just run out. Yeah. It's more impressive. Like, it's not. No one's pumped to see someone hit a wide open 3-pointer and they got 5 minutes to shoot it.
Mm. I feel like they continue to try and make the All-Star game for everyone, and it's never going to be that. So either commit and make it a kid's thing or figure out a way to make it competitive. I think Reggie Miller was bitching about it. Pretty much everybody had issues with it. They said it was like the worst slam dunk comp since 1997. I think that was the one Kobe's in.
Right.
So that was that, like 25 years? And I don't know, like the three-point contest, I was saying to Rabbit, it looked like everyone smoked the bong or somebody was drunk or they just didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, Clay must have been passing it around.
Yeah, totally.
My dude, I was on CJ McCollum and he came dead fucking last.
Yeah, it's not great.
I can't believe it.
It's not great.
It's devastating. But yeah, the game needs some help. I don't see why you can't play a little bit of defense.
Mm.
You're not gonna get hurt. They must have practices that are like 10 times more intense than that game.
Mm. No,
and if you step on someone's foot, you know, so be it. You're playing basketball.
Yeah, and it just must be an ego thing. Like nobody wants to outdo anybody and they all love each other and there's no, you know, competitiveness because they're all getting paid millions, so who gives a fuck? But the three-point contest was boring. The slam dunk contest, Rabbit was saying Aaron Gordon's all emo about it, but like, did he practice that at all before he decided to? Like, because what? Straight away after the first bounce, you're like, dude, it needs to go higher, much higher. Puts it exactly where it was before, and you're like, what are we doing? This is really weird. And again, why do they keep having a big man in the dunk comp? Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to see Andre Drummond. No one wants to see Plumlee. No one wants to fucking see DeAndre Jordan jump over a DJ table.
I want to see Plumlee. Come on now. Don't put words in my mouth. if you're DeAndre, you no props, no jumping over someone's turntables. You just need to go do a windmill and slam it down as hard as you possibly can. Make people, like, fear the rim. Do what Dwight Howard did and put it up to 12 feet.
Totally.
Or something like that. Just, like, an old-school Dominique, two-handed windmill as hard as you can.
Yeah.
And people will lose their shit.
It would be pretty cool if somebody did dress in theme and, yeah, he pulled his shorts up really high, so he had short shorts and it was all 70s.
Or, you know what? I was thinking, why wouldn't DeAndre go for, like, a distance dunk, like a free-throw line dunk? Surely, like, that would be just as easy for him, right?
I reckon the Clippers found out he was doing it, and probably Griffin's like, dude, you got to jump over something. It's the best way. Everyone loves it. I jumped over a car. Come on, you got to jump over something. So I reckon
that was lame as well.
All right, well, and then the skills challenge. I saw Porzingis won that.
Silent T.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, he killed it. Yeah. It was a white boy off. Didn't he? Hayward. Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
Yeah, he crushed it.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it.
Yeah, that's
What did you think about the Craig Sager, everyone shoot threes for charity situation?
For me, I think the idea was cool, but they didn't. They just kind of really rushed it, I felt like. Like, if you're going to give $500,000 away and then Steph Curry can't hit a half court shot, which is almost borderline ridiculous to just assume he's going to be able to do that and make it so easily. But it would have been great if they kind of really got the crowd involved more and were like, we're not going away till we get $500,000. So, you know, everyone, you know, and really got everyone behind it for just a moment. But it was kind of like, oh, we didn't do it anyway, but we're going to give you the money anyway. Have a great day. So I don't know. What did you think?
For starters, the Steph Curry thing was so cringeworthy. It's so awkward. It's too much to ask him to, like, come out of the crowd in his civvies and shoot a half-court shot in three attempts, which is the plan, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Rubbish. But the first part, when Reggie was like, hold on a minute, I want to get involved in this, like, I was legitimately excited. This is cool. Like, I didn't know what the stakes were going to be or anything like that.
Yeah.
And when they started pulling people out of the crowd, I was legitimately pumped on it.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't mind that whole thing, the free for all, the charity. I thought that was quite cool.
Yeah, I thought it was cool as well. It just felt like rushed a little bit. But then you saw Reggie Miller shoot the ball, and you're like, this is like one of the best 3-pointer shooters of all time. And it looks like he doesn't even know how to shoot. It was a weird shot. Like, maybe because he was wearing a suit or something, but it just felt weird.
Yeah.
Or he's just.
I don't even remember. I don't remember him even shooting. I think I couldn't stop watching the DJ Khaled or whatever. That guy, he hit one. He hit one. It was unbelievable. I know. I was cheering in my living room. But that was probably the most exciting part of the whole weekend.
Yeah, and it was definitely a flop. But when you look at on a statistical level, it had the highest ratings of an All-Star game since whenever.
Did it really?
Yeah. And you know why? Because ESPN and NBA or the NBA spent, you know, 2 months building up the Westbrook-Durant thing over and over, hyping it up. Like, even the game, when you watched it on ESPN, they're like, Durant, Westbrook, you know, like, over every repeat ad, every break. And it's – I wonder, are they doing that because – you know, they're trying to create something, or are they doing it because it's slightly a bit boring of a season, if I might say? It's kind of flattened out a little bit, like such an explosive opening and then kind of flattened out a bit. I don't know how you feel about that statement.
There's no bigger story than that, is there? That's the thing everyone's most interested in when you've got like a handful of teams in each conference sort of running away with it. So I can understand why they're pushing that narrative, but doesn't make it any more interesting for people who actually like know what the fuck's going on. Mm. Meaningless games in the middle of the year. Mm. But I don't know. I guess that where they threw love to each other and everyone was getting emo. Like I was saying to Rabbit when we did our pod last week, that I was super interested to see what the dynamic was actually like. And just hearing that the other guys on the West are actually pumped that I'd like want them to be friends again or whatever the situation is. Like that sort of stuff's interesting. I would have liked to hear what they said to each other, but if that's the best you can come up with in terms of like creating entertainment and at the All-Star game, that's the best you can do. And Steve Kerr pussied out, not putting Westbrook with the four Warriors. He put Marc Gasol, like that was like a letdown as well. But
yeah, totally. And so Team Curry, Team Westbrook or Team Durant? What do you feel?
Oh, KD all day. You know, I don't like it.
Yeah. But like in terms of, let's say, who needs to apologize or who needs to call somebody?
You're dead right. KD should call him. He should have called him. Yeah. Definitely should have called him beforehand, totally. 110%.
He still owes 110%. Him a phone call. Hey, man, sorry, fuck. We had some great times. Yeah. I had to make this decision for myself. I love you as a brother. You know, I hope you can forgive me one day. You can call me anytime. Peace out. The end.
Yeah, that's all you have to do. It's pretty shocking that he hasn't done that.
You got mad fashion sense, you know, beef it up a little bit, kind of lie on a few certain things, you know. You got mad fashion sense, you don't look like a turtle, and give me a call anytime.
Sick backpack.
sick backpack.
But it was nice to see Westbrook having a great time.
Yeah.
I guess that was the one thing. It's nice to see him with a smile on his face and like, actually having a bit of fun from time to time. I quite like that. But whatever, fuck All-Star Weekend.
Yeah, totally. Something needs to change. Just make it for the kids. Get the Wiggles down there. They can do the halftime show and just have a big family fun event. And then I won't watch it and I won't be disappointed.
I don't go the other way. I want people to care. I want them to want to win. I want it to be like State of Origin.
Yeah, of course.
All these teams aren't playing for shit.
Yeah.
Take some pride in that.
Yeah, Rabbit said, you know, last year was probably one of the best dunk comps ever. Fair enough. Bit spoiled with that. But, like, you know, how hard are they practicing in practice? Why can't they give it a little? And it's got to be an ego thing. Like, I'm a superstar, you're a superstar, so let's just keep it that like that, and we'll, you know, if it happens.
No, they do, though. They get, do you see Glenn Robinson III? They get like Team Flight Brothers, that dunking crew, to basically write their dunks for him. But he did the same dunk four times. He just jumped over people and then did a one with the left hand, one reverse. Like, they were the most memorable dunks that he did. Same thing with Derrick Jones Jr. Mm. And Gordon apparently had like eight motherfuckers from Intel like designing drones, and he's had this shit in the works for ages, and he had another drone dunk lined up if he made it to the finals.
Wow, two drone dunks, and he didn't even get the first one.
No. Wouldn't you think he would just put it super high and take it out of the drone and reverse it? Like, have it way above the rim, get it, figure out how high he can jump.
That's why I felt like it was like he never even did it before, because you're like, okay, he's putting the drone at the exact same spot. Why, it didn't bounce high enough. Why wouldn't you put it higher? Go high.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. Fuck this. Let's talk about some
trades. Props are overrated anyway. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they need to go. But let's talk about some trades real quick. Is there anything straight away outside of – we'll save Cousins for last if that's okay. But is there anything else outside of that that really you got to get off your chest, or should we just go through them as they appear? As like, what there's about? Something like, I mean, because it was a bit of a nothing. So like, why don't we just start with Chicago and Thunder? So you got Taj Gibson and McBuckets versus traded for Cameron Payne and a bunch of douchebags, Morrow, and who's the other guy? Joffrey. That's a real name. I didn't know people still named their sons that. Okay.
King of the North.
Yeah, King of the North. What do you think?
I guess that was the most exciting one. I love it for OKC.
Yeah.
Because you're getting like, I think you'd have to say, even though McDermott seemed pretty disappointing, that he's still an upgrade over Anthony Morrow, right?
That's a wonderful question. Like, both had big moments to, you know, win games and haven't. So maybe they'll thrive under a different system. I don't think either of them needed to stay. I think, you know, trying something different is very interesting, you know?
Yeah, I feel like he could, McBuckets could be a difference maker on that team. Like, he's probably not going to, you know, win him a second round series or anything like that.
Mm.
But he's someone that's something that they really need. He's like a rich man's Kyle Singler.
Okay.
So I'm totally down for that. And Gibson, like, they couldn't need someone like that playing next to Steven Adams. They're going to be super duper tough.
Tough
to score on, and he can like spread the floor out a little bit. So I think they made out like bandits. Were you and Rabbit just like jerking off how much you both hate Cameron Payne, or?
Yep, pretty much. So
why?
Well, it's just the dancing, basically.
Oh,
it's
100% come on!
That. And like you say, what has he played? Like four games or something? Like
yeah, he's been hurt.
Yeah, so he hasn't. We haven't. Probably Rabbit and I really haven't even given him a chance. But I mean, there's no doubt the Bulls need a point guard bad. So, you know, if he can run the floor and make, you know, creative plays and, you know, do the right thing, then it'll be perfect for him. I just don't like the dancing. It's just
you're going to hate on him all purely because he's dancing. He dances exactly the same amount as Westbrook does.
Yeah, totally. But he doesn't average a triple-double. Like, I don't know. It's just, yeah, it's just a stupid little thing. But, yeah, the X-Factor's got to be Taj Gibson for OKC. It'll be interesting to see what he can do for them, if he's going to come off the bench or how they're going to play him.
Yeah, would you often have him coming off the bench? I'd start him next to Steven Adams.
And then who are you sitting? Actually, who are you going to sit then?
Who, Robinson?
Yeah, I guess. Maybe you're right. Okay, so you're starting Gibson. Epic.
So who would they close with? Like Westbrook, Adams, Gibson, McBuckets, and whoever the fuck else.
I don't think McBuckets is going to start, man, surely. I guess we'll fucking find out. Whatever. Let's move on to the Suns. The Suns.
He's so stoked. Still have Brandon Knight.
So something was supposed to happen and Brandon Knight didn't get traded.
Well, no one would take him. No one would take him.
They go, we don't want Isaiah Thomas. We'll take Brandon Knight. He becomes an all-star. We'll get rid of Dragic, and we'll get Bledsoe. And, yeah, so P.J. Tucker is off to the Raptors, which, you know, they need more defense. There's no doubt about it. So it's interesting. And we get a flabby Jared Sullinger, who's lost a lot of KGs, and 2 second-round picks. How fantastic is that?
But you're going for dead last, right? You're going for... Well, you're going for like the second pick in the draft, so I guess you're bottoming out, which is great. But you didn't manage to get rid of anything you really needed to get rid of.
No, and you can probably use those picks to trade for something later. But I'm constantly confused what the Suns are trying to do, other than get their 19-year-old some minutes. But I don't see really what their long-term plan is or what their focus is. But there has to be some pretty obvious facts that a high-profile player is not interested in going there at all. So,
but don't you think that's good? Don't you think that fits the timeline? It's all about Bender, Chris, and Booker, to a lesser extent, Bledsoe. You got a couple of dudes there like Tyson Chandler who can like show the
he'll
guys with a good work ethic.
But he'll be gone as soon as he can be.
Yeah, which isn't for another couple of years though.
I know.
So you're not really trying to trade for a big hitter for at least like another 2 or 3 years when Devin Booker's like a legit stud.
Yeah.
And you know, you can see what you got. So like, yeah, it's going to be a rough couple of years for you, bro.
Yeah. Well, and I think this year I've watched the least amount of Phoenix Suns games than I've ever watched in my life. So it's just really,
can't blame you.
Yeah. Unexciting. And then we get Mike Scott for just cash. We just paid money for Mike Scott. The Suns did.
That'd be pretty exciting.
Is it?
Yeah, at least when you're getting 140 hung on you, you might like be able to put up 117. Mike because he's a flamethrower and he's got no conscience.
Yeah, I understand that, but for a guy, he averages 10 minutes a game, say 11 minutes a game. He averages 2.5 points, 2 rebounds, 0.9% of an assist. And he's
Yeah, but you've seen what he can do.
Yeah.
You've seen him a couple of years ago in the playoffs, hit 6 threes in the playoff game.
Yeah. But, you know. Yeah, and it's probably not fair to judge a team that obviously didn't really get behind him. But, yeah, I mean, I guess that's what I got to get excited about, Mike Scott. Get your Mike Scott jerseys early, everybody.
Mike Scott and Sullinger, 2 for 1.
I don't trust anyone with 2 first names, and no one should, really. And then the Lakers get Tyler Ennis. Yep. And what did the Rockets get? Marcelo Huertas?
Huertas.
Let's not even talk about that. And then the Nuggets, they got Roy Hibbert. And let's not talk about that, because who fucking cares? I'm not talking about the Nets.
Again.
I'm not talking about the Nets. I'm not talking about Thiago Splitter. I was saying a rabbit. I forgot he even played basketball for Ilyasova. Yeah. Nerlens Noel. So that's kind of an interesting one because everyone thought it was going to be the other big. So for that, the 76ers get Justin Anderson, Andrew Bogut, and a first-round pick. Did you see the controversial little article about Andrew Bogut might be able to play for Golden State through because of a loophole?
Yeah, they're going to waive him, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it'd be super fucking interesting.
Very interesting all of a sudden. It's
freakishly.
But like, the Mavericks must be pretty frustrated that they got Bogut and it just did nothing for them. Pretty much injured the entire time. I mean, why would they? And they just want a young big, so they're like, whatever, we'll get rid of Bogut. We don't care. Like, why wouldn't you want somebody like Bogut there to help him, Nerlens Noel? To maybe mentor. Different type of player, I get it, but like, understands bigs, probably could explain and break down all the other competitive players that you have
but to play against. Boogie was a free agent at the end of the year anyway, and he'd gone on record saying that he would most likely bail. Yeah, so if you can use him to get a dude like Noel, you have to do it. Absolutely have to do it. It's a no-brainer.
Noel.
But where are they going as well? Like, what are they looking at? They got Noel and Harrison Barnes now. They're your building blocks.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't get why this isn't like the big theme of this like whole trade deadline is that teams don't know when they're shit. Teams don't know when they're shit. Like Chicago are doing it. Indiana did it as well. Like everything that I've heard was saying when they were trying to get a deal done with Boston, they didn't want to take any of their glorious picks. They wanted to take their core rotation guys and try and stay in the middle of the pack. I'm like, no, understand where you are.
Yeah.
Especially right now when you've got like LeBron dominating the East and the Warriors dominating the West. Like what better time is it to bottom out, get like perceivably what would be like the number one pick from Brooklyn via Boston. Let go of the Paul George era. If you're Indiana, you've got Miles Turner and a top three pick. Fuck yeah. And then, you know, we're starting from scratch in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, no, I think
Chicago, what the fuck are they doing? Like, they got nothing except for Jimmy Butler and now one year left of Dwayne Wade.
Yeah. I that's a front office. And that's the problem is sometimes it's just a front office issue, not a coaching issue or anything like that. There's just bad decisions continuously being made. And we'll get into the Pelicans' decision in a little bit. Corey Brewer for Lou Williams. I still love Sweet Lou, so the Rockets get a massive upgrade, I reckon.
Yeah, that's huge. It's huge for them. It'd be good if they could get someone who could guard, though.
Yeah.
And it's all, I guess everyone I've been speaking to about that says, like, who cares? You're Houston, you're trying to score 150 on everyone every night anyway. But
I said that, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, like, you're scoring 150 points every game. Who can stop you?
Yeah, but you gotta like, if you really want to go deep, you have to be able to guard at some point. Hmm. Like, the fact that they could trot out Beverly and Ariza with some of their lineups sort of, like, steps the bleeding a little bit.
Yeah, well,
when you go to the bench, then you've got, like, Sam Decker, Lou Williams, Nene. There's no way. I just don't see any way in which
don't you feel
they're
like
going to keep up.
With those players and the way that they shoot threes, and they shoot more threes than anyone in the NBA, and they make more threes than anyone in the NBA, that if you have just another incredible guy who can isolate, shoot threes, he can score whenever he wants, that it's going to be pretty hard for you to have a bad scoring game. You know, you'll find someone who can get it done for you.
Yeah, it's pretty hard for them to do that now.
I reckon shit's going down in Houston, man. They're looking great, I reckon.
So wait, what do you think the ceiling is for Houston now after this? Would that change
Western
your mind
Conference
about them
finals.
Beating?
Western Conference Finals.
So, like, beforehand, you didn't think they could beat San Antonio in a playoff series, but now you do?
I just think they needed more bench help, definitely. And somebody like Corey Brewer, I don't know what he's getting it done. But what I want to know is, why are the Lakers giving up Lou Williams for Corey Brewer? What's the point? Are they just trying to tank? And a first-round draft pick, they're going for picks now.
Yeah, totally.
That's it. So they don't really even want Corey Brewer. They just want a pick.
They yeah, absolutely.
Corey. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just smashing salaries.
I mean, if you look at what Lou Williams did for, you know, Toronto and the Lakers, but let's just say Toronto for now. You know, there were a couple times where DeRozan and Lowry were not doing well, and he saved their ass multiple times off the bench, you know, 27, 28. So I just think it's just – something D'Antoni loves, more offense. Can't have enough of it.
Well, they definitely should have done the deal, 110%.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if that's the best thing they could get back for Corey Brewer,
fucking
fantastic.
A. Yeah.
But I was really hoping there was whispers that Lou Williams could go to Washington, and I was really hoping for that so Trey Burke could leave the NBA forever. But but how much better would that have been? Like, I think they need bench help way more than Houston need bench help.
Yeah.
Washington's bench is fucking horrendous.
Did you pick Trey Burke this year in fantasy?
No, man. No, I learned my lesson the first time.
Yeah, okay.
Definitely not.
I thought that's why you might be a little extra bitter.
I'm still bitter about it.
And so, speaking of the Raptors, Serge Ibaka for Terrence Ross and a first-round pick. What do you think?
I'm very excited about Toronto.
Yeah,
very excited.
If you can't,
this is what I'm talking about with Houston. You know, like a PJ Tucker on their team might have been a huge difference maker.
Mm.
You know, when you're talking about someone who has to guard like a KD in the playoffs.
Yeah,
well, they've only got a Reza and no one else. But yeah, Toronto now have a dude that can guard LeBron. And can guard, you know, guys like Melo out in the East. It's going to be, I think that's massive for them.
Yeah.
I love how Barker fits in as a third banana.
Yeah, totally. It's perfect for him. It's just like OKC. And he's a great shooter. He's consistent. He's like almost 50% for field goals. So,
yeah,
it's pretty huge for them. And he's a seasoned veteran. He's been in the playoffs, in the finals before. You know, like, it ticks so many boxes. And then you have somebody like TJ. Do you think TJ is going to come off the bench?
Well, I'm thinking, like, I'm always thinking about who's going to finish the games and how devastating would be, like, a Barker, Tucker, Carroll, DeRozan, and Lowry as a finishing five that's small, but, like, all three of their front court guys can go get a rebound.
Mm.
All three of them can shoot a three.
Mm.
It's pretty massive, man. It's pretty devastating. It's super versatile. I can't wait to see what that five-man group does together.
Mm.
And then you have Valanciunas and you have Corey Joseph as well. So, and Patterson.
Yeah.
So there's like your eight-man rotation and you don't really want for anything. They're going to be super exciting. I think they like definitely jumped like way ahead of Boston, but it's just whether or not they can get it together enough in time. But man,
it's
Washington and Boston must be bricking it, I reckon, about
really,
facing them in the second round.
And East are finally looking exciting, you know, like not finally, I shouldn't say that. The East are looking as dominant as the West in terms of your top four. Like, I'm pumped for Boston. I'm pumped for Toronto. You know, Cavs are still doing their thing. It's pretty exciting. Washington are looking better than ever. I mean, you couldn't
That's why it's disappointing, though, that they didn't make any moves. They couldn't get anything to put, like, Jimmy Butler or Paul George in Boston or put someone to, like, fill out the bench in Washington.
Mm.
Because I love, like, Toronto's mindset in this instance where everyone's running scared of the super team out in Cleveland and everyone's running scared of Golden State. Toronto are really good, and you should do everything you can to be as good as you can for as long as you can, and they're doing that.
Yeah,
and it all works on paper. They're balanced. They're going to have to pay a fuckload, but like that's what it costs to have like a competitive team.
Yeah,
and they're doing that. It's fucking great. And I wish those other teams at the top of the East would make
Danny
that same
Ainge
distinction.
Danny Ainge did not want to get rid of that Nets that Nets pick.
Yeah, but what's he going to do? What is a shit hot rookie point guard going to do for you next year when you're trying to beat LeBron?
Yeah.
You want Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
You want Jimmy Butler at all costs.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree.
Or Paul George at all costs.
Get rid of him. Yeah.
And the Bulls are fuckwits.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with you more. And so Chris Anderson to the Hornets for a second round pick. Who cares? But
there's
I just want to. Yeah, there's a block. Yeah, never forget his dunk comp. But probably his last year, right? It has to be.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
He's going to be a full-time pedo after that.
And then how are you feeling about your Portland Trail Blazers getting rid of Plumlee for Nurkic?
It's pretty devastating. I was saying I sort of broke it all down for Rabbit last week, but
I really like it
for the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good to see that you've listened to it.
Listen to every bit. I'm going to listen to it on the ride home. I promise you.
I like it. I was kind of hoping they'd get off. Myers Leonard or Crab or both at this stage.
Have you
but
watched them
that
play
might be a,
for him yet?
No, I haven't. He's only played one game and I missed it. So I'm gonna. I think they played today, so I'm gonna go watch them when I get home and just feast on Boogie.
Yeah, cool. Well, If I can recommend a game for you to watch, you should definitely watch the Los Angeles Clippers versus the Golden State Warriors today.
Oh, really?
I think that's probably, if you're going to do anything, you should watch that. Especially, I'm just watching seriously right now, 8 minutes and 12 seconds into the third, and Draymond Green just got a technical, and he's literally screaming at Steve Kerr, and Steve Kerr's yelling at him, and the guys are holding him back. He just can't fucking help himself. Like, literally... The assistant coach is having to pull him away from screaming at Steve Kerr. It's crazy.
Guys got issues, man.
Yeah, but apparently DeMarcus Cousins is the asshole because he gets the 17 techs. Do you know how many times this guy should be teched but doesn't? It's amazing. All right.
Yeah. How long do you reckon DeMarcus, like, gets a tech or starts losing his shit in New Orleans? Do you think Gentry's going to have him all, like, happy families and shit for a little while?
Yeah, it's hard for him because I reckon he's a target. Teams target him to purposely give him a tech foul. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you watch the game today and you watch how Nene reacts and purposely goes at him, he's trying to get him a tech. He's trying to get him, you know, in trouble. So
you brought it on yourself. You made himself an easy target.
Yeah, totally. But you know what I mean? Like, that's just how it is sometimes.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Double or the Twin Towers are back, or it's just going to be a big flop?
Man, I wish I knew.
Obviously, we're talking
about
Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins.
I wish I knew. I've been talking to everyone I know about this, and the only thing I can come up with is that I have no fucking idea how it's going to go.
Mm.
No idea. It looks okay on paper. Defensively might be a bit weird because you want to keep Davis close to the rim because he's such a good shot blocker, but he's surely going to be the one chasing like Ryan Anderson's and Kevin Love's around in the perimeter because you don't want Boogie doing that. So I don't know how they'll go small. I think they'll go fine and they've got no one else outside of Drew Holiday. So I don't think it's a lock that they're going to like rush into the eighth seed. If I had to guess, I still think Denver will probably win more games than them in the home stretch. That's how I feel. But I think it's going to be like a pretty super interesting offseason to see who they piece around them. They really only need like one more ball carrier and two more shooters, and they're going to be pretty fucking lethal. But
yeah, can I ask you something? If we remove DeMarcus Cousins and we put, say, Hassan Whiteside in there, do you think the Pelicans are better or worse?
Worse.
Really?
Yeah. See, I think the only reason why I think it's going to work is because both Boogie and Davis can stretch out to the three-point line, and they don't need to be close to the basket to be effective.
The thing that
so
worries
you can play
me
one of them at the elbow.
It's just, I don't know. I mean, I love DeMarcus Cousins. I think he's fantasy gold. I like that he's an angry man. I have no problem with him at all. I just don't know if he's like the type of guy that's going to want to play gritty defense and have to guard bigs like consistently and give up shots as when he's been the man, and Anthony Davis is going to be taking those shots. I was just curious what it would be like if they had a bit more of a defensive-minded kind of shot blocker type of guy versus – I know they already have that in Davis, but I feel like they're trying to free Davis up slightly so he can be more offensive and not have to worry about the defense so much. Or would you disagree with that?
No, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I guess maybe, you know, you're trying to get Boogie to – take some of that load off him defensively, like where he doesn't have to bang with so many people. But that's what I was getting at before. Like, if you have Boogie close to the basket, the way that the league's going right now, that means you're chasing Kyle forwards out around the perimeter. You don't need two guys close to the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be the super interesting part. But I don't know. If everyone's going small, I kind of like that they're zigging where everyone else is zagging and they go super big, and maybe they'll just out-rebound everyone and
yeah,
they're going to have so many second possessions. They're going to have like really good looks close to the bucket. And
there's one thing you would definitely say, that whether it's good or bad, and we have no idea how it's going to go, a Twin Towers like revamp would be so awesome for the NBA. It would be so exciting to have like Griffin, DeAndre, but they can, you know, guys that can also shoot threes, explosive dunks, block shots, and just work as a tandem. The kind of almost start to overpower the small ball vibe again, you know, like,
yeah,
it's amazing to see the evolution over the last 3 years and then for it to evolve into something else and it have a bit of a 90s nostalgia to it with a kind of twist where, you know, big men are now shooting threes and whatever. It'd be so cool. I'd love it, you know?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And it's not like it's Patrick Ewing and Shaq playing with each other.
No,
hey, these are super versatile guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, Boogie does sort of have that brawler, you know, like pummel into the bucket, like run through five cunts sort of mentality. And Davis doesn't really do that. He's more finesse. So you can see an outcome where it could be devastating. But I'm so stoked that it's happened. It's so much better than watching Sacramento just languish again year after year, 7 years of like mediocrity. It's terrible. So no matter what happens, it's going to be an exciting outcome. So I'm super pumped.
Okay, cool.
And Boogie just lost $30 million. So that's great as well.
And we haven't really said too much about Buddy Hield.
What's there to say?
Well, he's a rookie. He plays basketball. He's now playing for the Kings, and they obviously like him. But yeah, do you have anything that you think, anything of interest about him, or who gives a fuck?
I like Buddy. Everyone was saying when he was coming out of college that they'd love to have a guy like that in their team because he's got giant testicles and he likes taking and making big shots and he can definitely shoot.
It's pretty hard. Go on.
Yeah. Well, I just think his destiny is going to be, you know, off the bench, probably finishing games on a really good team, and no one will really see the value of him for like another 4 or 5 years, even though he's like quite old.
Yeah.
I feel like he's going to be that sort of guy. And he's just being unfairly sort of the centerpiece of a Boogie Cousins trade where they're meant to be getting something of equal value back. And I don't think he's that. I don't think he might average like 23 a game at some point, but I don't think he'll ever be like an all NBA type player. But I think he's going to be pretty good, but he needs to be on a good team, and, you know, clearly he's not right now.
Yeah, totally. He definitely looks like a donkey, and it's pretty hard to hate anyone that has the first name Buddy, you know?
Yeah, totally. There's so many Nutty Professor things going on right now. It's perfect.
So I just wanted to finish off on a little bit of Magic Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And, do you happen to have available some of the classic quotes that Magic Johnson has said about? I just found that really funny. I don't know if you had it or not, but I was just going to throw that at you. But
well, I remember when we were talking about it, how you were saying he would take Brandon Knight first in the draft. That was the best one. so relevant. It's so great. I don't remember the other ones.
Damn it. Well, if you have a chance to look at some of the amazing things Magic Johnson has said over the years, it's so good. Not that we or anybody else has said, you know, anything stupid, you know, or irrelevant. But what do you think about him being the face of the Lakers? And really, everyone's blowing up because Magic, Bird, and Jordan are all kind of, you know, looking after teams now, which is pretty cool in a way. But care, or are you pumped that...
No, I care, and like I think the positives are that when they were trying to get a meeting with Kevin Durant last summer, they wouldn't even get a meeting with him. Where now, you know, if Magic calls you and says I want to talk to you, pretty much any player is going to talk to Magic, I think, which is like a leg up for them for sure. But in saying that, like, I don't really, the guy like has his own business and he's, you know, he runs the Dodgers, he's got all this stuff going on. Phil Jackson in New York, that hasn't really worked out.
No.
I don't think this archaic mentality is really going to work for them. And I think he's going to have this too old school of thing. It's going to be like Moneyball, where they're looking at a guy like, going, look at that guy, he's got a hot girlfriend. That means he's confident. Therefore, we want him, you know, instead of looking at pieces that are actually going to fit together. But I just think that, you know, and the same thing happened with Jordan. And I think the same thing's happening with Larry Bird right now, where they can't handle losing. And where LA are right now, it's better for them to lose and just like work with what they've got.
Well, and if you are going to lose, why not have Magic Johnson there as the face and, you know, maybe a bit of a draw crowd for sponsors and things like that. They get to meet Magic and all that. And also, you know, for high schools to let kids know that even if you are HIV positive, you can one day be the CEO of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah. Do they need any more fans? Do they need any more publicity? Do they need more sponsors, man?
All right.
I don't think so.
Well, other than that, It's an exciting, it's about to get exciting in terms of college basketball, that is, because March Madness is next month, and then the NBA gets exciting. But yeah, seriously, watch that Clippers Golden State game. It's in the third quarter. We've got a kicking incident. We've got technical fouls. We got Green actually said to Paul Pierce today, chasing that farewell tour, they don't love you like that. You thought you was Kobe.
Wow. I hate Draymond Green, but I'm so happy that he exists.
I'll tell you who's going to love the shit out of that rabbit.
Yeah, no doubt. Did you tell him that?
No, I didn't. I did not. I'm not going to fucking tell him anything about Golden State. He can kiss my ass. Until they're, you know, not a top 10 team. Anyways, that's about it. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with another Full Court Press podcast. We're doing them a little bit differently, so you never know what you're going to get. Hope you're enjoying them, and we'll talk to you soon.